Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Carpe Diem. Almost forgot my show today. I was so busy watching Best Day Ever and then Dancing with the Stars. Tamar Braxton, I thought she did a great dance. If you didn't see it, that's okay. Lots of other things to do today, and I hope you saw the Pope coming to the United States for this pontiff. It's the first time he's come, and it was really a historic scene, seeing the pontiff, the head of Rome, the head of the Catholic Church, come to the United States and be greeted by the first American, African-American president with his family. The girls have grown so much. They look just beautiful. The mother-in-law was there. She seems to be happy. And it was a really nice scene in general. And I think it's something that will be remembered forever in pictures and in just a lot of firsts that happened here. Now, during this visit, he's going to make Junipero Serra faint. And that makes many people unhappy. The Indians who were here for thousands of years before Junipero came to California, they are upset because when Junipero Serra came from Spain, he called America the New Spain, and he set out to build a lot of missions. I think he built about 9 missions throughout California. And I think his first mission was Mission Dolores, which I believe is in San Francisco. And as he was building these missions and doing his missionary work, bringing religion and so forth to the United States, he brought along a lot of people with him. And they came, and of course, they didn't like the Indians, and they were trying to, they actually did enslave them. And then, of course, they brought a lot of diseases, which killed off a lot of the people, and it was just a mess. So a lot of the Indians now don't think he in any way should be a saint. If they said he's a saint of anything, he'll be the saint of slavery. And that is really a poignant thing to think about, that this Pope is coming here, and of all of the many people who are not so controversial and who did great things, religious things, in spreading religion, you would wonder why in the world they picked Junipero Serra when he does have this history of enslavement. Well, they say Junipero Serra himself didn't do it, but we all know with slavery, as you know, when you look back in slavery with the blacks in the United States, there were a lot of people complicit. And the people who were complicit, who were, letting things go or partaking of the benefits of slavery and so forth, even if you didn't have a slave, you were perpetuating it and you were allowing it to occur. So that's very questionable, and that is a negative on this whole thing, this making Junipero Serra a saint. I didn't realize there was that much controversy about him until I learned more about the subject. So welcome, Pope, and we're looking forward to the rest of the things that are going to be happening. Today, Happy Birthday was declared a public domain song. You can sing it anywhere. You can put it in your movies. You can put it in your records or whatever you want to do. It is now public domain by a U.S. District Court judge. He said that the ownership of Happy Birthday was never transferred properly, and that Warner Chappelle, which is the company that's been collecting rights fees for all these many, many years on Happy Birthday, they said they were not really the owners of that. And they were making about $2 million a year from people who were singing Happy Birthday, and then Warner Chappelle would give them the right to sing it. And if anybody sang Happy Birthday on television, it was well known you got slapped with a huge fee for singing Happy Birthday. So nobody ever sang Happy Birthday on television because of the claim that it was privately owned. But now they say it's not. Happy birthday is out there in public domain. Sing it up. Do whatever you want until the law changes. If they find something different, we'll see in the future. I'm sure they're going to appeal that. So, Ben Carson, that's the next thing I wanted to talk about. That was also on my things I wanted to mention tonight. Ben Carson, now he's got into this whole Muslim thing, saying he didn't want to a Muslim to be president of the United States or that he wouldn't vote for a Muslim. And, you know, that's very widespread. A Muslim, you know, what in the world is he talking about? And, you know, you vote for an individual. You don't say, I'll vote for a Catholic or I'll vote for a Jewish person. You say, I'll vote for Ben or I'll vote for Charlie or whatever, because they have a lot to prove to you to be president. And, you know, as I said before, you know, president, great job, a lot of prestige, great benefits for life. And there is no requirement. You know, if you're going to be a receptionist, they're going to tell you you have to speak a certain language, you have to have graduated high school, you have to have a diploma, blah, blah, blah. None of that for the being president of the United States. Got to live in the country for a certain number of years. Got to be over age 35, an American citizen. You know, not much to qualify you. Almost anybody can run. And I'm sure one day we will have Muslims running, but we won't be really qualifying them according to their religion. But we do have to remember that in the United States, a lot of our laws, a lot of our customs, the things that we're used to in this country, are based on the Christian religion, and that it would be very difficult, I think, for Americans to accept a Muslim religion as the head of our lawmaking and our war-making body, because, of course, we know that Muslims do hate a lot of people, and, you know, Jews, we have a lot of Jews in the United States, we're very close with the Jews, we have a lot of Christians, you know, Jews, the Muslims do like to fight Christians and other people, and so that would, you know, there are a lot of problems, there would be a lot of problems, not necessarily constitutional problems, but just basically how we live our lives and what we believe and so forth. So I think that's what Ben Carson was talking about. But, you know, you have to learn if you're going to be a candidate, you have a time to speak and you have a time when somebody's going to ask you a crazy question and you just shut your mouth. And that's what he should have done about that. There is no Muslim running for president. It was not a question that should have been asked. This man already has 16 people in the Republican Party running for the same office that he has to worry about. Why in the world would he start making up fictitious characters and worry about whether or not he's going to vote for them? It's crazy. I mean, he just doesn't need a 17th person or an 18th person. I mean, he can go on forever making up fictitious people. There is no Muslim person running for president, and this is a time when you look at the news person and you just say, let's stick to the issues of today, the people of today, and try to get his message out. And one of the messages that Ben Carson could have really gotten out, which really needed to be spoken about today and yesterday when it came out, was, of course, this one company who makes a drug that's very necessary for people who have intestinal parasites. Ooh, you can imagine if you got that disease, you're going to want that medication really badly, and you're going to want to take it for however many months or whatever you need to take it in order to clean yourself out, because you're not going to want one iota of a parasite left in your body. Well, this company, knowing they have a vital medication, and naturally this medication is really used more frequently for people visiting or living in areas such as Africa or the Middle East and so forth, because they have a lot of parasites in their water and in the land and so forth. But they decided this very, very important medication. And, you know, a lot of people who visit get it because, of course, they're jumping in the water and they're drinking things and eating lettuce that have parasites on it or eating different meals that are infested or shaking hands or who knows what else they're doing. But they do contact these parasites. They get them, they come back, and then they have to take up this medication. Well, now he wants to, you know, put this astronomical price on every single pill because he knows it's required if you have the problem, and people will pay whatever it is. Of course, now that most people are going through insurance through our national health care system, Obamacare, he feels more assured that the insurance companies will pick it up because the people who have insurance will demand that this be covered under the insurance because they won't be able to afford it. So this is really putting people over a barrel. This is un-American. This is a type of terrorism that I think we as Americans should not tolerate. And, you know, there are things we could do. We don't haven't ever done them in the past. But if somebody is going to abuse, you know, all these medications were discovered and experimented on and confirmed through public money. So we have to help develop. You and I have helped develop every single medication out there. And for a person to think that this is just their medication and that we are like beggars begging them to use it, we are also partners in the development of every medication that comes out. And then he says he wants to use the extra money to make more medications of a different kind to help more people who have other health problems. That all sounds good, but if you're abusive with the medications that you produce, why do we want you to make two or three medications? If you're going to abuse the price with one, you're probably going to abuse the price with all three. So we just as soon get rid of this company and let somebody else take over the patent. But, of course, we haven't ever done that, but these are things that we have to think about. Not good things to think about, but if you're abusive and you want, and you know, you're kind of stubbing your nose to everybody, these are things that you do have to think about possibly in the future. So that is something that Ben Carson could have talked about. He is a physician. He's a neurosurgeon. He knows about medications. He knows about the cost of medication. Imagine a neurosurgeon. You're dealing with a lot of expensive medications. And you know the difference between an expensive medication and a non-expensive medication and one that's just abusively high and that maybe you don't use. You substitute other medications for it. This is in the field of knowledge of Dr. Ben Carson, and this is something which he should have addressed. You know, when the newsman started asking him about a fictitious Muslim, maybe he could have said, you know, that that's an interesting thought, but what he'd rather talk about is scalping of medication to the detriment of the American public. And turn this thing around to something that's really current, something we're really interested in, something we want to know about, and something we want to know what he would do. What are the potential things that he might think about doing to keep the medication within the cost limits of people who need to get it? You know, Ben Carson is not a constitutional scholar. Now, President Obama is an attorney. He graduated from Harvard. He specialized in constitutional law, taught constitutional law to other attorneys. And so he does specialize in interpretation and the words of the Constitution. And he would have been more apt to have a better answer for a constitutional law question. Ben Carson is not an attorney. Ben Carson does not know constitutional law. Ben Carson would have to take a few moments, look up some things, talk to some specialists, as we all would do when someone asks a very particular question about an area of law that we haven't dedicated our lives to, and then come back with an answer. But you don't fly off the hip when someone asks you a question that's out of your field of knowledge that is not necessary to be answered, especially not immediately, because there's no Muslim running for president. And that's one of the things that Ben Carson has to learn. As a presidential candidate, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to try to throw him curveballs. They're going to try to make him, you know, say things he'll regret. They're going to make him say things that will hurt the feelings of others, and he has to learn how to avoid those events so that he can remain a viable candidate. You know, people say, oh, you don't like Muslims. Well, you don't hear any of the other Republicans answering that question, what they would do about a Muslim, you know, would they vote for a Muslim for president? The answer is no, they wouldn't, but they're keeping quiet. That's what you have to do. When there's a question there and don't have to answer it, don't answer it. And that's what the other Republicans are doing, and Ben Carson has to learn when to talk, when to not talk, and has to be able to focus on getting his message out, whatever that is, because most people don't even know who he is. So he needs to introduce himself to the United States rather than worrying about this Muslim issue. That's it for tonight. Sorry I was so late, but I did have some problems logging on. I'll talk to you next time, and good night, good health, take care, and I wish you nothing but the best. And let's enjoy this trip by the Pope to the United States. Bye-bye.